Well, let us begin. Let's start with a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll begin the study of the Lord's Word. Our Father, we come before you this morning in gratitude for the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, for the ministries that we have, and for the effect that that has on the world. Father, we ask that this would be a time that we would better understand our relationship with one another and our relationship with you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to do an overview of spiritual gifts. And we're not going to look at each individual gift so much as why do we have the gifts? And for towards what end? So with that in mind, let's start right in on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Now, Peter is the only apostle, only writer in Scripture other than Paul that addresses spiritual gifts. So, Peter has to say, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So here Peter talks, and the first thing we see is that each one has received a special gift. Right? And here we get the understanding that every believer has a spiritual gift. This is something that it's not some have it, some don't. It's everyone within the body of Christ has a spiritual gift. And so this, as Peter talks about this, this command is for all who have a gift, which means everyone. All right, so each one has received a special gift. And then we have the command. Employ it in serving one another. So right here's the command on how to use your spiritual gift. And your spiritual gift for each of you, myself included, for each of us, is for the purpose of serving one another. Right? So we see that spiritual gifts are for the benefit of other believers. They're not for our own benefit, but they're for the benefit of the body around us. It says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Right? And there we understand that each gift is the grace of God. God doesn't give us a particular gift because we were more deserving than the next guy or because we were deserving at all. But this is God's grace. Any gift is by grace. And this is no different. This is God's grace towards God's purposes. And so when it says stewards, we are as you were taking care of, we are holding and caring for this gift. We are using it in the manner that he has intended. We are stewards of our gift. And then he gives just a general layout of what that looks like. He says, he who speaks, or whoever speaks, is to do as one who is speaking the utterances of God. And here we'll see that Peter is terribly categorical. He says, the ones who talk and the ones who serve. And so he only makes those two distinctions. And when he says whoever speaks, this is talking about teaching gifts. And that would be at that time prophets, which we no longer have. But prophets, pastors, teachers, and some of the function of apostle. Right. But those teaching gifts, right, whoever speaks is to do so as one speaking the utterance of God. And there that's talking about speaking with authority. That as those with the teaching gifts teach, they are teaching God's word, and that carries authority. The flip side of it, he says, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So here the idea is service is labor type, all right, but that's not necessarily manual labor, but the physical help that is given one to another, work around the church, helping one another. Those are that type of service, which is really anything other than talking. And those also are empowered by God. So here we, the one who speaks, speaks with the authority of God. The one who serves, serves with the power of God. Right? Does that sound a little bit like what we've been seeing in Luke? What Jesus Christ did, speaking with the authority of God and showing the power of God? So regardless of which aspect, which side you fall in, it's not about you. It's about God who's working through you. Towards the end, so that, and then that's looking at purpose. The purpose of all this, the speaking with God's authority and the serving with the power of God, is so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So the function of our gift, as we serve one another, as we build one another up, is glorifying to God. And that it's, he gave it to us, he gave these gifts to us for that very purpose. And it says, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. All right. So we are giving God, we are ascribing to God what is rightfully his, eternal glory. And that comes through serving one another, teaching one another through the Lord's empowerment. So a quick summary of Peter on gifts. Spiritual gifts are God's grace upon the church. They are for serving believers. Gifts are empowered by God. And the function of gifts bring glory to God. So that was Peter on spiritual gifts. Now let's take a look at Paul on gifts, which is pretty much going to be everything else we're going to talk about this morning. And we'll start in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives it with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So now Paul is presenting these gifts within the framework here of having a proper understanding of their relationship to one another. Spiritual gifts are, and here he says, everyone not think more highly of himself than he ought. Right? There is a proper concept of, if you will, self-esteem. That's a nice buzzword these days. Right? There, we are to think properly of ourselves, but properly being where we are, not where we think we ought to be. Right? Don't think you're more than you are. Right? And here again, the idea is that we judge the body rightly, as we saw last week. Right? And he says, but it's to think is to have sound judgment. So here, the understanding our proper relationship with one another is sound judgment. Right? And the other is unsound judgment, not thinking things through well. It says, as God has allowed to each a measure of faith. And so here, this idea of our relationship with one another and where we stand is really comparative to how God has allowed out, and it says here, faith, and we'll look at that in a moment with prophecy. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function. And so now Paul makes a connection, a correlation between human body and body of Christ. And the idea is, well, you have hands, feet, arms, legs, head. Your body is made up of a bunch of separate parts that are all connected together, and so is the church. And just as you have a left hand and a right hand, left foot and a right foot, and they're similar but not identical, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So here, now Paul starts talking about unity. He says individually, members of one another. So here we both have the single person and the collective whole, and they're not separable. We cannot say, I am and you are. It's we are and I am a part of. So here the idea is this collective whole of which we each make up a part of it. It says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us. So here Paul also, just like Peter, Paul says these gifts are given by grace. And each one of us have these gifts. Each one of us has had this grace bestowed upon us. And grace differs according to God's grace. The gifts differ according to God's grace. So you have this and you have this, and both of those are God's grace. So he says, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. So you do your gift, you do your gift, you do your gift, and that's the way God set it up to be. So you don't act the way she's supposed to, and you don't act the way he's supposed to, because God didn't give you his gift, he gave you your gift. And this all works together the way God planned it out. And then Paul lays out, what's that look like? He says, if prophecy, according to the proportion of your faith. Right? And here the idea is that a prophet and what he foretells and what he speaks, and when he speaks the Lord's word, right, that actually is a measure according to the faith that God has given him to speak that. Right, so here we see the idea of a tie between faith and prophecy. All right, the service and the serving. So the one who serves, the exercise of the gift of service is serving. The exercise of the gift of teaching is teaching. Right? The exercise of the gift of exhortation, of encouragement and building up, is encouraging and building up. Right? So each of us is to act accordingly to the gift that we've been given. So just a quick summary of Romans and Paul in Romans on gifts. He says gifting does not preclude humility, meaning that gifting is not more important than humility. We view our gift with humility in how we relate to one another. Spiritual gifts are given in God's grace. So again, this is the Lord's work, not our work. God chooses how each member is to fit within the church. And that's, I think, a really big one. That God has placed us where we are for his reasons. And so the different things that we do within the church, our roles within the church, those the Lord has picked those out for us. And there's to be satisfaction in what we do because he has placed us here to do that. And not dissatisfaction because we're not doing what that person's doing. God chooses, and we need to function as God has gifted us. And there's two sides to that. One is not wanting to do what someone else is doing, but the other thing is not saying there's a bump on a log, not doing anything at all. And God has given us gifts for the purpose of using them. And we are to exercise our gifts towards one another. Moving right along to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that passage may sound familiar. That is kind of the premier passage on spiritual gifts. This is where Paul lays it out in the most detail that we have. And we're going to go through this in sections. So 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works through all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So here, as we start in verse 4, verses 4 through 6 are kind of a subunit, and they're hugely important to how Paul lays this out. It says there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, variety of ministries, but the same Lord, variety of effects, but the same God. Now, can you see what he's doing there? Paul has brought the Trinity into the function of gifts in the church. It says the variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. So he makes this connection between gifts and the Holy Spirit, which we've seen before, we'll see it again. He talks about ministries, which seem to be distinct from gifting, right? And Jesus Christ. And then there's the effects or the impact of that ministry and gifting. And here it's gifting in the ministry has an effect. And that the word, you see it underlined on the screen, effect and work, that's the same word. Right? The effects of those ministries are all planned out. It's all what God, it says, who works all things in all persons. So here we look at the foreknowledge and the plan of God, who has planned out the good works that we do. And so the effects of our gift in ministry are these works that God has already prepared beforehand for us to do. So we see the Trinity there, but the other thing that is highlighted here, each one has a different role. And yet it's all working together, weaving together into one cohesive whole of gifts, ministries, and effects. It's not like the Holy Spirit says, hey, this is my job, and I'm better than you because you can't do this. No, we see the Trinity, who is all one God, working together here. And Paul uses this as a picture for how we are to function together, just like the Trinity does. So he says, we have the diversity of the Trinity working together, and we have the differences of gifts that all complement a whole. All right, and he lists out, starting in verse 8 through 10, he lists out a bunch of different gifts. We have wisdom, knowledge, and faith, healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation. And all of these things are simply different manifestations of the Trinity working. These are gifts, and we'll look at ministries in a minute, but these are gifts by the Spirit. All right. And it says, but one in the same Spirit works in all these things. So just because one person has prophecy and another person has tongues doesn't mean that God is working in this one and not in that one. No, the Holy Spirit works through all of these things towards a particular end. And it's that end in goal. We are all one team. This is teamwork, if you will. It says again, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So there again, the idea is every believer has a gift, and the Holy Spirit has given that gift according to his will, his choice. He's working towards his ends, and each gift is handed out to bring us and move us towards those ends. Now looking at verses 12 to 20. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of one body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. So here now Paul continues on with this idea of body that we saw in Romans and talking about the body as an example of the church. And he says again, as the body, as your body has a bunch of different parts, and yet it's still one body, so also the church, and he says, so also, and specifically he says, so also is Christ. There's one Messiah, one Lord, one Christ. And yet, by one Spirit, and we notice the unity that Paul keeps hammering on there, one Christ, one Spirit, We were all baptized into one body. And the idea here is that we have been brought in, we have been immersed into this body, so that we are no longer separate. We are no longer distinct. And then he goes through this, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit. And here is, there is no social distinction. No, God didn't pick who gets what gift. God didn't say you're in the church and you're not going to be, by any sort of nationality or male or female, any of that. That is irrelevant when it comes to the Lord, how the Lord chooses for gifting. He gifts for his purposes. He's brought us together into one body for his purposes. And the idea that is, if God didn't discriminate, right, if God chose for his reason, that's not based on ethnicity or whatever else, neither should we. For the body is not one member, but many. And here the idea is that the body of Christ isn't one big hand with everything doing exactly the same thing, fingers all moving together. No, body is not just one piece of a body, but it's a whole. And it's a whole that functions together. And looking at 15 to through 17, we have this idea of misunderstanding. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. And here's a part of the body that is, in actuality, a part of the body, but misunderstands its role. It says, well, I can't do what that guy's doing, so I must not be a Christian. And Paul says that's wrong. And he specifically says he's no less a part of the body, even though he doesn't think he is, because he's not doing that. And the idea here is whether slave, saying, I'm not free, therefore I must not be a part of the body, or the person saying, I can't do the tongues thing that you're doing over there, so I must not be a part of the body. He's saying that's wrong thinking, and yes, you are still a part of the body. And then he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smell be? The body needs diversity of gifts. The church would not function the way it's supposed to function if we all did the same thing. If we had, I don't know what, 20 people here, 25 people here, if we had 25 pastors in this room, it just isn't going to work right. Any more than if we had 25 people who all had the gift of giving. And no service, no pastor, no teacher. No, you know, it doesn't work when everybody has the same gift. We need the diversity of one another to function as a church. And it's not going to work right any other way. But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. So again, the idea is that God has picked you for the particular role that you have. He's put you there because he wanted you there. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. So again, the idea, we are all in Christ. Moving on to 21 to 25. Now I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Now, whereas the previous one was a misunderstanding of self in the role of the church, now there's a misunderstanding of others' role in the church. And that I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Any more than the pastor can say to the one who gives, I don't need you. Or the one who serves can say to the one who teaches, I don't need you. That's not how it works. On the contrary, and there we have a strong negative. That's not the case. It's anything but that. It's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And here the idea is those people that, what is it they do in the church again? What is it? Can they contribute? Really? Honestly? Those people are necessary. Meaning you and I can't function without them. Now that's a sobering thought. Our gifts don't work right. Our relationship together doesn't function right without those weaker members. And in fact, the way Paul lays this out, God honors them more because we don't, to bring it all up to equality. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. Oh, and here we used to think that it was the pastor that got all the glory and honor. No. Remember? He who would lead among you, let him serve. So here, Paul lays out the way it really is. Pastors, apostles, prophets get all the glory because they're the ones that are front and center. But yeah, they're not the ones that God is honoring more. Roxy. Without the weaker members. And so here, Paul is saying those who are weaker in the church, those who have the less presentable members, if you will, we need to honor them more, not shunt them aside and say, we don't need you. That's not what they're there for. So that, and Paul wraps up, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. So Paul says all of this should draw us together as for what we really are. One body, one whole. And we should have, as he started with in Romans, we should think rightly of ourselves and one another. We should care for one another. Not only the ones that are most attractive, most appealing, you know, most easily recognizable as being gifted, but equally for all. And verses 26 to 31, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. So here Paul lays out that when one member of the body suffers, the whole body feels it. And there again is the idea of pushing aside those that we might think are unnecessary, and that hurts everyone.
Well,
that
it
does affect everybody, but that also then the Lord has his timing in who he brings in and who he removes. And he goes, God has appointed in the church. So he keeps hammering on this idea that God chooses, God places, God has planned out the effects. This is all the Lord's work. Don't any one of us get all worked up about, this is what I do. No, this is what the Lord does. And he graciously allows us to participate in that. And he lists out all these different gifts again. And he starts at the top. Right. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings. Right. But he says, we can't all be apostles. It doesn't work that way. Can't all be prophets. It doesn't work that way. Can't all be teachers. It doesn't work that way. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. And then he gets into love. And we'll save love for another day. So a summary of Paul on gifts in 1 Corinthians. Spiritual gifts reflect the diversity of the Trinity. Spiritual gifts are given according to God's choice and placement. A diversity of gifts are necessary for the church to function well. And each member should be honored for their particular function within the church. Now, looking at Ephesians, starting in chapter 4, starting in verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So again, each one of us, each believer has a spiritual gift. And again, Paul's talking about grace. This is God's grace. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. We don't have any right to it. We can't make demands on the basis of it. This is God's grace that he has given each of us. And it says, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, anyone want to hazard a guess what gift that was from Christ? Be death, burial, resurrection. All right. And it's a measure of that grace that God showed us in salvation. And then it says, he ascended on high, led hosts of captives. We're not even going to start in that. That's a fun passage. I'll get into that another time. But he ends that with, he gave gifts to men, and he gave some as apostles. Some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Now, if you want to chase back pronouns, which is one of those things pastors do for fun, right? We're talking about Jesus Christ that gave. Right? And if you remember how Paul laid things out before, the Spirit gives gifts, the Lord gives ministries towards the outworking that the Father has already planned. So here we're actually talking about ministries. He gave the ministry, the role as apostle. He gave some as prophets. He gave some with the ministry of evangelists. He gave some with the ministry of pastor and teacher. And so here Paul is laying out, if you will, the leadership ministries. These are the people that lead the church. All right. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. So this is the role of these gifts, is to equip the entire body to serve. So church isn't service. Gathering together here to hear, well, now we have pastors and teachers, the apostles and prophets have gone before us. Right? But to hear the teaching, this is not the work of service. This is the equipping. So you come here to be equipped to go out and do the work of service. And it says, to the building up of the body of Christ. Some of that happens here, but a lot of that happens out, both interacting with one another, that's also building up. But there's also the spreading of the gospel towards the building up of the entire body of Christ. Work of service. And all of that comes, that's the purpose of the pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, has all been towards equipping. Finally, 13 to 16. Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Well, there's a mouthful or two. All right. And Paul is saying that these ministries, which of course are paired with the appropriate gifting, but these ministries are for the purpose of equipping and building up the body towards the goal of unity of the faith. So that we all are joined together because of our common faith in Jesus Christ and in God. So we are to be drawn together, and it's a sign that we have been built up and have been equipped when we are unified in our faith. And we have there's two different things that drive unity here. We have faith, so we all focus together on God, and we all share knowledge of the Son of God. So those are the two aspects that drive us to unity. Our faith in God and a proper understanding of Jesus Christ. So those things together bring us together in unity. So that's talking corporately. As a body of Christ, the purpose is to bring us together into one whole, focusing on God and Jesus Christ. And then it says, to a mature man. And here, now we're talking individually. So we've got corporate goal and individual goal. To a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So this is what each individual, each believer gains from the equipping and the building up of the body towards that corporate goal of unity is maturity. And here Paul now uses this picture of little kids and adults. Right? And frankly, if you tell my son something, he's probably going to say, okay, yes, unless I give him the I'm being silly sign. Right? But he says, okay, daddy, I could tell him that the sky is green. Okay, daddy. Right? But the idea is here that children don't have stability. They don't understand, they don't know, and so they can be led by the hand down wrong paths. But he says, we are not to be children, tossed here and there and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And there are right doctrines, and there are wrong doctrines. And for the less mature, sometimes it's hard to recognize the difference. This is talking about spiritual maturity in becoming like Christ. And the more that we are like Christ, and this is something that's available to any and every believer, as we grow to be like him, we can recognize those things that are not true.
So it's kind of like maturity in Christ.
Yes. And that I'm particularly speaking of not when somebody's lying to you in general, but recognizing when somebody says something that we can compare it to Scripture and say yes or no. All right? Or we look at our faith in God and our knowledge of Christ and say, no, that doesn't sound right. And we are not swayed by that. All right. And when it says tossed by, here and there by the waves, it says, oh, that sounds good. Oh, hey, that sounds good. You know, that's a pretty good idea. I think we ought to be doing that. All right? And the idea is, no, stability. All right. And it's like a rock that the waves beat against, but they don't move. It says, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And Paul is dealing in a time, and the times haven't changed, there are people out there who will intentionally try to lead you astray in your faith. It happens. Right? And these are deceitful people. They are lying to your face. They are crafty. They're doing it on purpose for the very purpose of taking you in the wrong direction. And Paul says we should be stable. We shouldn't be swayed by these lies. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him. And then there again, we corporately are to grow up into Christ, who is the head, right, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. So he goes back into this idea of body, head, body, joints, limbs, and Christ is the head, but he also is the glue that holds us together, right? And each member working, the proper working of each individual part. So each believer functioning in their gift, doing the work of service, is all held together by Christ, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So the result is that the entire body benefits as each member is doing their thing that God has gifted them for in the ministry, the role that God has placed them in towards the effects that God prepared beforehand. And all of that builds a body up. So our final summary here, spiritual gifts are given by God's grace. We should have that one down by now. The function of leadership gifts is to equip the church for service and building the church up. And the result of these gifts and these ministry functions is stability for both the whole of the church and for individual members.